the battle between me, myself, and I. The battle between me, myself, and I. As you all know, I usually like to start my sermons with a nice introduction that captures the audience's attention. I like to paint a 21st century picture that helps you relate to and connect with the biblical text that I am referring to on this day. But this morning, I just have to be real. I have to get down to the heart of the matter. And that matter is there anyone in here that's willing to lay their cards on the table and be able to say with me and be honest with yourself that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory? Do I have someone? Some of us in here may be struggling right now. Some of us in here may have struggled on yesterday. Some of us may have struggled last week. Some of us may be struggling each and every second of our lives. But there is a battle between me, myself, and I. Yes, my brothers and sisters, if I can just make this atmosphere a little bit more comfortable, because we have to realize that as Christians, we still sin. For those who say that they are not sinners or that they've already accepted Jesus and they are not a sinner anymore, I'm here to let you know that you are speaking a lie right now in church, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory. The book of 1 John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The battle between me, myself, and I. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Paul did say in the third chapter of Romans that we have all sinned, meaning past tense, meaning that we have sinned in the past and we fall short, meaning present tense, of the glory, meaning that we have sinned before and we're going to sin again. Is that right? And I like the way Paul puts it. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. That doesn't mean that some of us in here have not sinned. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And that's a struggle that we have as Christians, my brothers and sisters. We have a battle with me, myself, and I each and every day. We must realize that even though we are Christians, even though we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior of our lives, that we must realize that we will sin again. Is that right? Yes, my brothers and sisters, we must realize that we are going to fall short of the glory and that we are going to struggle with sin, that we're going to have sin in our lives at times. And I know that we don't like to talk about sin, but I'm here to let you know that even as a Christian, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we'll feel like Donnie McClurkin. We sing that song that Donnie McClurkin says when he says, we fall down, but we get up. You see, what we must realize that as Christians, we realize and we know that we are sinners. And I'm here to let you know that the church is truly only a hospital for those of us to realize that we have sinned, to realize that we've fallen short of the glory. And even though we fall down, as Donnie McClurkin says, and some of us can put that thing in reverse and we can put it on loop and have it repeat all day, that we fall down, we fall down, we fall down. We can scratch it and remix it and know that we've fallen down, that we've done wrong, that we've messed up, that we've fallen short of the glory. But we must realize that at the end of that verse, it says, but we got up. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the battle between me, myself, and I, sometimes it feels like there's a battle, a game of tug of war that's going on in our members. We find ourselves struggling with our sin. Can I get a witness this morning? You must be honest with yourself in order to know that Jesus is able to help you. We're going to see some victory at the end of this text, but we must first realize, we must first admit that we have fallen short of the glory. So the question that I place at hand, my brothers and sisters, is do you have a battle between me, myself, and I? You see, this isn't a 21st century question that we should answer. But if we look at the text this morning, we see that Paul himself is in spiritual warfare. He is struggling. He's going through some of the same things that we are facing with today. In this letter, we see that Paul has written his struggle to the Roman church to teach them the Christian doctrines and to show them that God's word can cleanse them, can keep them strengthened. And he had a great desire, my brothers and sisters, to let the Roman church know and to let you and I know that we have a battle each and every day, that we have a battle that we are struggling with each and every day. And I like how Paul keeps it real in the text, for he says, "For I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I do not want is what I do." The battle between me, myself, and I. You see, just to paint the picture a little bit, Paul had a very interesting life. You see, before Paul had changed his name to Paul, he went by the name Saul. And Saul was one of the biggest persecutors of the church. He was the one who tried to destroy the will of God. And how many of y'all know that no matter what God's will is, that there's no man that can do anything to prevent it? Is that right? But we find now in this text that Paul, who has been converted and has been changed by Jesus Christ, he is a prisoner of the Lord. And although Paul had given his life to Christ, he found himself struggling with sin. And if I could just bring this a little bit closer to home, that even though Paul walked down the aisle and he gave his hand to the preacher and gave his life over to God one day and was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he attended Sunday school and 11 o'clock worship service on every Sunday. He went to Bible study on Wednesdays. He attended prayer meetings, and he even got on the power of prayer call. He sung in the choir, and he served on an usher board. He even preached from the pulpit. He still found himself struggling with sin. Do I have someone this morning? Oh, you got to keep it real, my brothers and sisters. You have to keep it real. There's a struggle between me, myself, and I. You see, you would think that as a Christian, as one that's given their life to Christ, as one that has decided to follow Jesus, as one that has decided to become a disciple of Christ, as one that has decided to ascribe to a certain religious belief or practices, has joined a church, has prayed the prayers, has participated in the Lord's Suppers, that we would be exempt from the battle of sin. Oh, but how wrong can that be? I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that when you are working from the Lord, when you are serving the Lord, that's when the enemy is showing his face. I think, my brothers and sisters, that's why some of us that have decided to serve as a Christian has turned away, because the enemy kept attacking them. As a matter of fact, I'm here to let you know that when you become a Christian, you become a bullseye for Satan. You become a living target for Satan to attack you. You see, Satan's not going to bother you if you're living for him. But because you're serving God, because you're serving the one and living God, the enemy is going to attack you at all times. When you've decided that you want to serve the Lord and serve the Lord for the rest of your life, that's when Satan attempts to make your life a living hell. Do I have someone? You see, so Paul, in this discourse, he lets us know that Being in Christ frees us from the power of sin, but not from the presence of sin. Let me say that again. Being in Christ frees us from the power of sin, but not from the presence of sin. That means that even though we are Christians, my brothers and sisters, sin is going to be all around us, but the power of sin does not hold us captive. Let's see if I can make this plain, if I can be a living witness for something that I often fall short of the glory of. You see, when I walk into a bakery, I can have enough self-control not to buy chocolate cakes, caramel cakes are hard. I don't know if I can say that. Apple pies and chocolate chip cookies, but my self-control doesn't make them disappear. When I walk into the bakery, they're still there looking good enough to eat. That means that they're still there. You see, being in Christ means that sin no longer has the power to control us. But the fact doesn't stop Satan from coming after us. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to fall short of God's glory at times, that I'm not going to struggle and fight against sin. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to let you know that there's a battle between me, myself, and I. Look what Paul says in verse 23. He says, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Paul sees that the struggle is indeed real. The struggle and fight against sin doesn't make a pretty picture. It can cause headache. It can cause pain. It can cause grief. It can cause shame. And if you really want to be honest, it can make you want to throw in the towel. Do I have someone this morning? Yes, my brothers and sisters, there's a battle between me, myself, and I. But look what Paul says. Paul, he gets so discouraged. He gets so filled with grief. It got so bad for him that he cries out in verse 24. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, Paul had the sense to know that he was wretched. He had the sense to know that he was evil in his flesh. He had the sense to realize that even though he accepted Jesus and he had met Jesus on that Damascus road, that he was still a wretched man. And how many here this morning is willing to admit that they are a wretched man or that they are a wretched woman? You must be a willing person to admit that you are falling short of the glory, that you are struggling with sin. But one thing that I like about this text is that Paul realizes that he's a wretched man, that sin has him captive, that sin causes him to struggle each and every day. But look at the text. Paul realizes that there's nothing that he himself can do about it. If you look at the second part of the verse 24, he says, who will rescue me from this body of death? You see, at that point, Paul realizes that it's not me, myself, and I that can rescue me from the sin that holds me captive. He realized that it's not me that can deliver me from the sin that I struggle with. Oh, you got to make that plain, honey child, and know that it's not you yourself that can relieve you from sin that holds you captive. And Paul realizes that in verse 24. He says, who can rescue me from this body of death? That body of death that Paul is talking about means this whole mass of sin, the whole man, our thoughts, our actions, our deeds. And if you could just be real with yourself, my brothers and sisters, you may have sinned just past week when you were driving down the street and you saw that man that looked so good to your eye. Just keep it real, sisters. You can keep it real with your pastor. I'm not going to judge you because I love you. Just keep it real and realize that when you saw that man as you were driving by, you had thoughts in your mind that your mom would be ashamed to know about. Just keep it real, brothers, because we sometimes can have a wandering eye. You might have been at the grocery store and you saw that sister that walked around the corner.